You hear all the bull about diet and exercise.
Carbs are evil.
Do more cardio.
Never eat bread or cookies again.
Just do a juice cleanse.
We get it. We fell for all of the BS too.
It's time to go right to the source with the truth about how to live a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. I am Liz.
And I'm Becca. We are your nutrition educators, and this is The Food Code.
Happy Wednesday.
Hello, hello.
It feels like forever since we've podcasted.
I know. And I hate, like, Liz and I don't like being apart. She's still dealing with some COVID stuff. I just didn't want to deal with it because it just got out of our house. And I just, you know, so we're separate today again. But we were just talking about how we need more videos of us podcasting. And 2 days ago, Sunday maybe, Liz and Art have been watching Yellowstone, and Art texted me a video from Yellowstone. He sent me a video of the TV. He like took a video of the TV and sent it to me because I'm behind them on episodes, and it was a video of Beth. And Beth just like, I hate to love her, but like she's hilarious. And I like forgot that it was Art that texted it to me and started talking to him, thinking that it was Liz. And I think I said at one point, he was talking about like the videos he's creating for us for podcasts to post on our Instagram. And I was like, yeah, you know, I need to get on your level and like do better with the quality of my reels and stuff like that. And also I said, some of those videos of me at podcasting, I look effing huge and I really need to figure out a different camera angle because it just does not suit me. And I really try not to have it bother me, but I just can't, I can't post them. And then I like realized, I was like, oh wait, I'm still talking to Art.
Well, he's the one to talk to about it because he's going to be changing the camera angle for you. I wish that we could play that clip. Maybe we'll have to figure out a way. The clip that we sent you, we probably watched it 3 times, and you can probably hear me in the video. I am cracking up so hard. So if you guys have not watched Yellowstone, this is in the 4th season where they are talking about gluten, and the chef goes, "What's gluten?" Because there was someone in their house that was like vegan, vegetarian. And she's like, I don't do dairy. I don't do gluten and something else. And it was just hysterical. Beth is the daughter and she is a firecracker. So she's like calling this chick out that she would eat wheatgrass, but she won't eat the seeds of
wheat. Oh my God. There's some really vulgar language. I wish I could repeat it on the pod. It's so funny.
So funny. I mean, seriously, we probably watched it 3 times. I'm like crying as I'm thinking about it right now. But yes, it is. That's what we did pretty much all weekend because we were quarantined in the house. I'm so over quarantine, you guys. I'm ready to get out. If you've followed my Instagram.
The world is over quarantine. Yes. The world is over quarantine.
And like I was telling Becca on Sunday, I'm like, I just want to go to the grocery store because like I've sent Art to the grocery store, which is great. But when I go to the grocery store, I, of course, find other things and I think of things that I would like, you know, to make, even if they're not on my grocery list. I don't care. I just buy them anyways. And he goes with his list. He checks everything off like a good husband and then he brings it all back. And I'm like, well, I actually thought of this, but I can't text him when he's at the store because he'll be like, seriously, I'm already here with this ginormous list and then you're sending me more stuff. So I am, according to the CDC guidelines, apparently I was out of quarantine, but I took another test last night and still positive. So I'm being a good human and I'm staying quarantined. I worked out in my basement today. So I'm just
ready.
You can
be positive for like up to 12 weeks, I think. And so the hard thing here is like you just finished quarantine. So I'm just going to give it a couple more days.
Yeah.
Just a couple more days. Well, because we're still sick in the house. I just like we cannot get over these colds that are just like a freaking revolving door in our house right now.
Yep.
So, you know, it's okay.
As long as we're good by Friday, that is my main thing. And that's well beyond. That's like the 10 days, you know, and my symptoms haven't been too bad. So I'm like, you know, I think we'll be good. We decided to do like a last minute trip. We're going to just go to the Dells. There's an indoor water park. It gives us something to do with Marcus for 48 hours. Yay, yeah, parenting in winter.
On Sunday, because like we were home with the kids Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And Sunday night, I look at Nick and I was like, I'm really exhausted of parenting right now. Like, I want to sit on the couch and watch TV and not do anything. And I don't want to just like give Carson the tablet constantly. And so like we try to play, obviously, and I try to be a good mom, and you know, Nick's an amazing dad, but like a 3-year-old that's nonstop and a 4-month-old that needs you like we got to Sunday night and I was like, I'm so tired. I just want to sit down and not do anything, but we have to keep being parents. And that's part of being a parent. You know, you just, the job is never ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure lots of other parents out there know that, you know, we always see like hashtag blessed on Instagram. I'm so blessed with these babies. I love my children. Listen, I love my kids too. Okay. But they're exhausting. Like sometimes you just need a break. You need a break. And so I was experiencing that this weekend.
Yes.
On Sunday.
Well, and it's funny because I don't know if you've experienced this with Carson, but we have gone through, so we went through the toy box, we cleaned all that out. We're like, here's the new toys. These are the drawing things we can do. And we have like these stamp pads. Like if you guys ever played bingo, we have these like dot pads, whatever.
Yep.
So it's like, which craft of the hour can we do? And then it entertains him for like 10 minutes or Sunday night. I'm like, yes, we're going to go sledding. Saturday, we did the Jeep. We'll get the sled out. We got into the attic, got the sled down. Marcus loved it last year. Well, this year, because he's bigger, he wants to pull the sled just around. And I was like, well, we're basically just going for a walk now. So I got him to ride in the sled for like a couple of blocks. And then he decides that he doesn't want to do that anymore and that he has to pull it. So we're just standing outside and I'm just standing there on the corner of the street. Like, what are we doing, child? Like, let's go.
Listen, my child literally does not enjoy coloring books. He doesn't enjoy crafts. Like I try to get him to do them. And after a minute, I painted these little vases for our grandmas for Christmas. He did like 2 paint strokes and he was like, I'm done. And I was like, no, 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 no. Like mom just went to Michael's and bought all this stuff for you. You are painting this vase right now.
It's the same way I feel like with baking or like cooking. Like they help for like 10 minutes. He actually
does well with cooking.
Yeah. He'll help for like 10 minutes. And then it's like, he just wants to play in the sink with the water or he wants to play with the eggs and that never ends good. Okay, so
yes.
Yeah. I'm always like teasing him now. I'm like, you don't get to eat the cookies because you gave up halfway through making the cookies. So, but anyways, we hope you guys had a great new year and we're talking about reverse dieting today and how to minimize weight gain because everybody is so afraid to eat more because they're afraid they're going to lose weight. But in our experience, to gain weight. In our experience, it's most of the time people will either maintain or they will actually lose a little bit of weight because their body needs the nourishment. In rare situations, we do see a little bit of an uptick on the scale. We're pushing more food, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do this as well. And there's also certain situations that it might not be the best time to reverse diet. So we're going to dive into that today and all the things.
Absolutely. So let's talk. We have a bunch of podcasts actually on reverse dieting, more specifically, like what is it and the process of it. But you can go back to our podcast and find those. Reverse dieting is not for everyone. And we kind of want to go through like what it is, who should be doing it, who shouldn't be doing it. And then we can talk through the bullet points of how to minimize weight gain when doing it. So let's talk about first, what is it? Reverse dieting is essentially when you slowly increase your calories over a period of time to what is considered either like a maintenance intake. So, you know, how many calories you're eating consistently without gaining or losing weight, or a surplus of intake. So, you know, if someone's trying to gain muscle mass and needs to be in a caloric surplus, the goal is to readapt the metabolism from a place that it may have negatively adapted to. So when people under eat for too long, the metabolism slows down to conserve energy within the body. Very simplistic view of what actually happens. The metabolism is very complex, but in a very simplistic view, the metabolism slows down to kind of conserve energy in areas of the body because we are not giving it enough energy. And so it will slow down how many calories you burn in a day, obviously, to meet the low level of intake that you are trying to consume for either intentional or unintentional purposes. And so the typical client that needs to undergo a reverse diet is someone that has consistently been under eating for, I would say, 6 to 12+ months, or someone that is coming out of like a calorie deficit, quote unquote, cut phase, and, you know, has stalled out in weight loss or just wants to be done with the calorie deficit. And they want to minimize any fat, you know, gain, or I'm sorry, minimize any fat gain and keep the weight loss or progress that they have seen. There's a good amount of population though that should not be doing a reverse diet. That's not like the first thing we do with all of our clients. It's usually more around consistency. And then there's some select populations that it, the reverse diet might actually make things worse. It can make people gain weight. It can make the dysfunction worse. I would say the first population is our gut dysfunction population. So,
yeah. Yeah. And we have to think about this. You know, we've talked a lot about gut health on the podcast, but if your gut is like an open wound, right, and we're already struggling with digestive issues, there's, you know, malabsorption issues and things are just compromised, we shouldn't be pushing more food and more calories on somebody who is struggling already digestively. So when we're working with clients, that's one of the first things we do out of the gate is work to heal the gut and work to improve symptoms and maximize absorption. So a lot of times it can be different foods that they are consuming that is, you know, continuing to, you know, ignite the fire of the gut and just make things worse. It can also be the way that some of those foods are consumed. So if they're not cooked properly, if they are eating too fast, they're not slowing down, they're not giving their body time to respond to the digestive processes and the needs of the digestive system. There's a lot of things that can go wrong here. And so before we start pushing more calories, we want to look at the types of foods, how they're cooked, how the person is eating, and then potentially either go through a gut healing phase or supplement accordingly to be able to support your gut being able to break down, digest, and absorb the foods that you are consuming. Sometimes we will get calories up depending how low the person is through utilizing elemental heal shakes or a little bit more fats. We might do smoothies, we might do soups. There can be a variety of ways that we can get the person adequate calories without, you know, pushing a lot more volume on the person. It's very case by case here, but there wouldn't be a reason to just straight reverse diet and increase calories from all around food if you have dysfunction in the body and you're not able to, again, digest things properly. Mm-hmm. The second thing here is hormonal imbalances.
Yeah, absolutely. So this can, the hard thing about these things, guys, and like we talked about this on the Metabolism and Hormones podcast as well that we did, I believe last week or 2 weeks ago. Hormones are not a hormone problem. The hormones are the symptom, and they usually stem from some type of underlying issue. And so when hormones are either downregulated or we're dealing with like estrogen dominance, and then we in turn have a high level of inflammation or oxidative stress, or like you are coming off of birth control as another, you know, scenario, we need to address regulating those things first before we throw food, because especially if someone has, for example, estrogen dominance, and some symptoms of that are like really heavy periods, bad PMS symptoms, belly weight, holding, you know, body fat in your stomach area, high levels of inflammation, joint pain, headaches, mood swings, stuff like that. We need, if we give more food, they are going to gain weight. That it's just almost always what we see with people that struggle with hormonal dysregulation. And so we need to address the root cause. And sometimes the root cause is under eating, but more so we need to look at like, is the liver functioning properly? And we can look at different symptoms of that. We need to look at, again, the gut is often correlated with hormones because there's a lot of hormone regulation that starts within the gut. And so there's a lot of kind of side effects that we need to address that look like they're hormones, but they come from other places within the body. And so we want to look at overall health. A lot of times nutrient intake, people are not eating a very nutrient dense diet, fiber intake. And so we don't want to just be bringing more food in, because a lot of times those people that have these symptoms will feel worse and will often have like more bloating, more constipation, stuff like that. So we need to kind of address, it's very individual to people. We need to kind of address what's going on that is essentially the root of those hormonal issues.
Yeah. So then we want to look at other things too. So Becca mentioned, you know, estrogen dominance. There might be scenarios for certain individuals. Maybe you have PCOS, endometriosis, you're on the brink of type 2 diabetes, and we're experiencing insulin resistance, right? If somebody doesn't tolerate carbohydrates well or is unable to get glucose into the cells to be burned off in energy, pushing more food is not the answer, because they're likely going to gain weight, right? And so we have to look at, again, what are the types of foods that they are consuming? What is their overall balance between their protein, carbs, and fats? And maybe we adjust those ratios rather than increasing calories right away to be able to support you know, reducing insulin resistance or help the body actually be able to burn off and utilize the foods they are consuming as energy. And so there's a lot of things when it comes down to vitamins, minerals, there's a lot of enzymatic functions that minerals play in the body. And so we can look for more of the good, right? And get the person consistent with the level of calories that they're able to consume and get the most nourishment from those before we look to increase. Again, this is all tying back to one thing, and that is fixing the dysfunction in the body before we start pushing more calories, right? We would also want to look at blood sugar regulation. Is the person eating meals that are balanced to keep their blood sugar stable? How are their biofeedback symptoms? Are they sleeping through the night? Do they have, you know, cravings? Are they experiencing brain fog, dips in energy throughout the day? There's a lot of things that we would want to look at from a biofeedback perspective and start fixing those root cause issues before we just say the answer is more calories. We've worked with a lot of women. For some of them, the answer is more calories. For some of them, the answer is consistent calories, consistent protein. And for others, a lot of the clients that we work with, it is fixing the dysfunction in the body. As one of our coaches, Courtney, says, like riding the ship, like turning the ship around, getting some of these symptoms, you know, put to rest and being able to actually utilize the nutrients they're consuming today. Mm-hmm. And then we can earn the right to reverse diet. You know, most of the time we're saying earn the right to diet, but earn the right to reverse diet and push more calories, you know, on the person. And then at that point in time, it becomes about how do we minimize, you know, the weight gain and again, continue to focus on health and helping them feel their best throughout a reverse.
Yep. And the last population that I think Liz kind of touched on here with the blood sugar regulation is a population that's dealing with insulin resistance. So this can be kind of tricky because blood work is often required to know if this is going on. You can go off of symptoms and how someone's feeling, if they're getting tired after meals, if they are under eating but struggling to lose weight, and they're still including carbohydrates, where they hold their weight, all those kinds of things. But if someone doesn't tolerate glucose well within the body or energy in general, pushing more food is going to make them gain weight. And they will likely gain weight very quickly. And so what we need to do within this scenario is we need to create insulin sensitivity again within the body, which usually comes from some type like of a lower carb or even a keto-based therapeutic diet approach for a period of time. Sometimes it comes from, we can also include some type of weight training and get them, you know, high intensity, get heart rate up, start developing a different body composition for that person, which can also help improve blood sugar, balancing meals out better, and just consistency overall around these things. With this population, you can't just add calories because they, like I said, they will gain weight. And so we need to bring consistency. We need to bring nutrients. We need to bring a lower carb approach for these people, because if we, you know, if someone is truly insulin resistant, it doesn't matter if they're eating 1400 calories, if they're eating a decent amount of calories of those calories from carbohydrates, they're going to continue to gain weight. So basic bottom line, reverse dieting is not for everyone. If you think that like, oh, if I just eat more calories, I'll fix all these problems, or like, that sounds like me, I'm under eating, I need to eat more calories. We always say like consistency first is the best option, because most people are not consistent. And so the people that should be going into reverse diet, I would say the best population is people that have been in a focused, effective calorie deficit and fat loss has stalled. So, for example, you have been in a true actual cut. You've lowered calories strategically. You've been tracking. You know you've been consistently hitting those low calories and you've seen your weight loss stall out. That is when reverse dieting can be very helpful to bring back nourishment to the body. So like when we are under eating, guys, we are malnourished. It just is what it is. And so, or undernourished, I should say. And so we need to bring calories back up to prevent further adaptation if any has happened. And you want to kind of do the reverse diet before any adaptation happens. And it can help limit fat gain that you have lost. So say you've lost 15, 20 pounds doing this calorie deficit, you want to bring calories back up and minimize any type of weight gain back that you have lost.
Yeah. One thing I will say just from personal experience, and I've seen it, you know, several times with clients, you can reverse diet perfectly after a cut, but you're probably going to see, and I expected to see, couple of pounds on the scale because I was increasing my overall calories, but I was also increasing my overall carbohydrates coming out of the cut phase that I did. So even with my coach, we were just talking about like January goals. He's like, where are you sitting? I'm like, I'm still sitting about 2, some days 3 pounds up from my lowest weight. We expected those 2 to 3 pounds. And honestly, I can't complain about that because I've been in a place of maintenance for about 6 weeks now before the holidays. And 2 to 3 pounds, I haven't really been tracking my food. We reversed slowly out of it for a couple of weeks, but some of that is normal. So don't expect that you're just going to reverse out of a cut and you won't see any weight regain at all. I don't consider it even really fat loss, or sorry, fat regain, because it's more so just water. I know that I'm holding more water. Exactly.
Most people are dehydrated. I think most people finishing a true cut are dehydrated. Mm-hmm. They're not like, that is a big part of the scale read. Yes, you've lost body fat, hopefully, if you've done it properly, but a big part of people's like weight loss and how cut they look is they're dehydrated. Mm-hmm.
Well, and for me too, and I hope this would be for a lot of people, when you come out of a cut, you know, I chose to change my training as well. And so that looked a little bit more intense. We're now doing 5 days a week and I have more cardio in here. And so it's, again, a total change of my calorie intake as well as my training change. I am very sore, especially through COVID. That would be my number one symptom, I would say, is the muscle fatigue that I had, and then just like being able to breathe in workouts right now. But I know that when I'm that sore as well, I'm going to hold a little bit more water because I've pulled more water into, you know, my muscles. And so again, I'm not considering this as fat. This is just a change in my training and it's a change in my overall intake, and I'm okay with that. But if we're finishing up a cut, how do you reverse? Well, a lot of people just want to like flip the switch and like go right back up to maintenance. Sometimes when you're in a deficit, you might be 500 calories off of your maintenance. You might be closer to 700 calories off of your maintenance. You know, again, for some of the ladies that we're talking to specifically for reverse dieting, we see a lot of ladies come in that are in a very severe calorie deficit, like more than 1,000 calories below what they should be able to eat and maintain their weight. So we want to do this slowly and strategically to be able to give your metabolism and your body time to respond. We don't want to just flip that switch and start pushing a lot of calories on you. So when we reverse diet our clients, even out of cut phases, or when we do refeed weeks or things like that, breaks essentially from their cut, it's usually about 200 calories. And then we will hold there and increase again a week or two down the line. And we're asking too for their biofeedback, right? Like, are they extremely hungry? Has their sleep taken a hit? There's a lot of reasons why we would give somebody more calories inside of a cut as well. So just keep that in mind as we're kind of talking through this. Some people can reverse a little bit faster and feel comfortable with that. Some people prefer to go like slow and steady for a few weeks.
Yeah. And I think that it depends kind of like how severely they feel and how they feel as they increase. So we're going to go through their top like 5 or 6 things that we usually do with clients to help minimize weight gain. You know, we try to make them very, you know, like the client doesn't realize we're doing these things. We're doing them very sneaky, so that, you know, they feel good throughout this. But a lot of times people worry about the weight gain. You also want to worry about digestive woes. When people start eating a lot more, if they aren't used to it, you can, you know, if you increase fiber too quickly, if you increase overall volume of food, obviously increasing protein, all of these can result in like bloating, constipation, diarrhea. So like Liz was saying, we keep tabs on clients as they are reversing because we want to know, are you experiencing any negative side effects and do we need to pull back a little bit? And that sometimes will happen. So the first thing we do, Liz already touched on, we reverse them slowly. Usually we take a week or so of having the client track consistently how they're currently eating, or if they're coming out of a calorie deficit, we know how much they've been eating, and we'll add about 100 to 200 calories per week and hold until they feel decent at that place. So we'll add in 100 to 200 calories for the foreseeable future. Once their hunger gets to a place where like that extra 100 or 200 calories isn't making them super full, they actually feel hungry again, they aren't seeing like weight has stabilized. So say maybe weight goes up a tiny bit after they increase calories. We want to kind of watch that and make sure that it doesn't continue to rise. And so we will hold there. And then once we see stability, we will increase again another 100 to 200 calories until we get to a maintenance and kind of like a personal preference place. A lot of people's maintenance, to be totally honest, is probably higher than what they feel comfortable eating. For example, like I could probably maintain eating 2,600 to 2,700 calories a day. It's a lot of food. I don't want to eat that much food. And so I maintain eating about 2,200 to 2,400 calories when I'm in that place. So we want to make it sure that it's something that's realistic for the person as well. Because a lot of people are like, well, I'm maintaining eating 1,700, 1,800 calories. And I'm like, well, you could probably be eating more, but it's got to be what works for the person. So the number one thing, you reverse them slowly. If you reverse someone quickly, it's probably more for health purposes. Like they are in a very high state of stress. Their body needs those extra foods. They're very malnourished. They're very dehydrated. There aren't very many scenarios where that's the case. Usually we reverse pretty slowly.
Yeah. And I would say unless the person is like extremely hungry and we're seeing a lot of those biofeedback signs, we wouldn't reverse them faster than we typically do. Yeah. The second thing here, and this is, I think, I don't know which was, you know, more important in terms of how fast or slow you go, but I think you have to understand that anytime that we add additional calories, it needs to be more of the good. So we want to use whole foods as much as possible. There's a saying like you are what you eat, you know, like you wear what you eat. If you're eating 1500 calories of McDonald's every day versus eating 1500 calories of one ingredient whole foods, you are going to look completely different, especially if you're strength training, right? And so the same thing applies here when we're reversing. Sure, you can utilize maybe some protein bars, you know, some treats here or there. Like I love my protein mug cakes, right? That's a little bit different than eating a chicken breast and I'm still getting the same amount of protein from it, but it is a processed food. And so I don't recommend doing that unless absolutely necessary. We would rather see somebody add in just a little bit more sweet potato, a little bit more white rice, you know, a little bit more chia seeds or avocado, olive oil, good healthy foods that are going to, again, provide the body nourishment because that is how the body functions optimally. And then we also want to look at bringing calories up in a balanced manner. So we don't always just want to throw 100 grams of carbs or 50 grams of protein at the person. We like to, unless it is a refeed day or it is a refeed time where we're doing this intentionally to refill glycogen stores, we like to bring calories up all around, protein, carbs, and fats, rather than just straight carbohydrates, right? Unless the person, you know, is training intensely and they really need it. And, you know, again, we're utilizing it as more of a glycogen refill, then we would do it from everything. And, you know, again, keep things here as clean as you possibly can. If you find it extremely challenging to hit your targets, then we would say, okay, let's look to add some things that maybe you enjoy. And, you know, again, we would still say like pair it with something that can provide you nourishment. So for example, if you're doing cereal, because that's easy to consume, I would say, let's make sure that you have some sort of protein with it, either a protein shake, you can do protein milk, you can add berries in for some good fiber as well. There's ways to make some of these hyper palatable foods healthier as long as you're pairing them with some other things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We use kind of like, to be totally honest, depending on the person, we use somewhat of like the 80-20 rule, 90-10 rule, depending on how they're feeling and how their body's responding. Because as you're increasing calories, it can be hard, especially like if you're not used to eating that much. So sometimes we'll use like, hey, do a peanut butter and jelly before your workout or after your workout. Do, you know, a small cup of cereal after your workout or something like that. And we try to centralize them around post-workout if possible, because the body tends to be a lot more sensitive to sugars at that time. So the other thing, track data, not just weight. Okay. Your weight will likely fluctuate. It will likely go up and sometimes down as we continue to eat more food. More food equals more volume of food going into the body, more for the digestion to process, more water retention at times because carbohydrates cause higher water retention with the body. This is okay. Okay. But what a lot of people sometimes will see is as they eat more, the stress on the body decreases because the calorie deficit stress is somewhat declining. And so people's inflammation levels go down. And so they see a better body composition because it's less puffy, I would say. But the scale might be stopped or it might be going up a tiny bit. And so track your data, track measurements, track how you feel, track how you feel. If you feel better eating more food, be okay with some of the body changes that will likely come. Okay. Walking can also help. So a lot of times when you increase calories, counterbalancing it a little bit with like something that's not putting more stress on the body, like more exercise, can be really helpful. So if you're increasing calories a little bit, the movement can help with digestion. It can help just generally mentally with how you feel. And so a lot of times we'll have people just like add an extra 500 to 1,000 steps a day or something like that. Go for an extra 10 to 15 minute walk a day. And those things can help a lot. And then the last thing I would say is you can take breaks. So like if we are reverse dieting and it's a longer process, you can take a break from it. You can cut back calories a tiny bit. If people are like, I'm really struggling eating this much. Okay, let's take a couple of weeks. Let's bring calories down a tiny bit and then we can go back and reverse. And so there's definitely strategies around doing this. But those are the main things that we keep in play to make sure that the client is not experiencing a ton of negative symptoms from bringing calories up.
Yeah. Last thing I would say, if you are somebody who is triggered by the scale during this process, you might want to put the scale away and start tracking every morning when you wake up how you feel, like Becca was saying, because there are so many good things. And if you are in a place that you need to reverse diet, this is detrimental to your health to stay in a calorie deficit for long periods of time, write out a list of pros and cons. You know, what are all of the benefits of me nourishing my body and giving it more nutrients so that it can function optimally, compared to if I stay in this place where I am now and I'm feeling run down, hungry, craving things, going through cycles, I can, you know, stay strict and hit my calorie goals, to other cycles where I'm in the pantry eating all of the cookies or whatever that looks like. So in this process, if you need to, go ahead and put the scale away, get a journal out, write in the morning how you feel every single day, and just focus on that and all of the good that can come with a reverse. Have a great day, guys. We'll be back on Friday. Thank you for listening to The Food Code. If this episode resonated with you, please share, rate, and review, as this helps us reach others around the world. With that, thank you for listening. We'll be back soon. Love you guys.